Yeah, well, that's what we hear. It may rain into the night. It's raining right now in downtown New Orleans. Hey, be sure and turn those. If it rains heavily, be sure and turn those flasher lights on. Make sure you got those hazard lights going. Make sure the world knows that you are an idiot don't know what you're doing.
No, don't do it.
Well, I'm being kind of sarcastic here. I mean, we tell people to turn them off, and they don't. So maybe if we tell them to turn them on, they'll turn them off.
Are you going to try some reverse psychology?
Yeah, you know, I was just being sarcastic. Risky, but it doesn't, you know, I see people in even nice, expensive cars with this kind of moronic behavior of turning your hazard lights on. And everybody's got their justification. Well, I just want to make sure people see me. Well, guess what? We're all out there together. We're in it together. And the hazard lights are, first of all, against the law to use if you're moving with the flow of traffic. The hazard lights are to indicate that your vehicle is having problems or that you are a problem. And if the traffic is flowing at 40 miles an hour and you can't go faster than 10, then put your hazard lights on until you get off the road. But don't be passing people with your friggin' hazard lights on. I mean, you look like an idiot. So, you know, I don't make up the laws, but I understand the laws, and I don't agree with every law, but I agree with this one. The hazard lights indicate that your vehicle is a hazard. They're called hazard lights. They're not called driving at the speed of the traffic in rain lights. They're hazard lights. So just, you know, keep that in mind. I'm Scoot. It is a Wednesday already. We are halfway to the weekend. Since yesterday felt like a Monday, we decided to do the Tuesday text off today. So that's coming at the end of this hour. I was listening to Howard Stern. And, you know, Ian, it's interesting that Howard Stern and with his listeners, he has the same problem we have. This guy calls up and he asks Howard about something that Howard just talked about. And he wasn't really listening. And Howard kind of got PO'd and hung up on the guy. I guess the point is that there's a common denominator with radio audiences. And I understand that you can't listen to everything that we say. I understand that if you're driving, you're in traffic. And I hope you're paying more attention to the road than you are to this show. So there are some things that you might miss. But don't call the show with this absolute righteous attitude that you're so right about what I didn't say because I might have already said it and you just missed it. But it's interesting to think about how that's kind of a common thing that happens with others as well.
If you're listening and you like to call the show or you think you might like to call the show, make a little rule for yourself. If you feel yourself getting upset and you feel angry or you feel indignant or you feel disappointed, you got some sort of feedback you want us to hear. Make sure that we said what you think we said.
Right.
Come to the table with a little bit of curiosity about, hey, Scoot. Hey, it's Jim Jimerson out in West Wego. Did I just hear you correctly when you said that Donald Trump has had sex with underage girls? Because I was listening. And, you know, I came to a stop sign and I just got distracted for a second.
That's right.
Did I hear you right when you said that? As opposed to, I can't believe that you said that Trump had sex with the underage girls. What do you know?
That is exactly right.
Come on, Jim Jimerson. You got to do better than that.
That's exactly right, Ian. You explained that perfectly. And, you know, there's a post I wrote a blog about it as an introduction into a call we had yesterday. We posted it at WWL.com. I don't know if it's still up on the front page. Probably not. It's probably on the Scoot page. But it's a caller, Bob, we had yesterday. Bob disagreed with me, and I disagreed with Bob. But we had a conversation. There was no name calling. There was no hate. The conversation did not escalate. It's also posted on the Scoot on your Facebook page where you can listen to it and comment on it. Why can't we be a little bit more like that? Why does there have to be such contempt? You know, because a lot of people are just PO'd. The problem is that there are a lot of people who are just so dedicated to defending the president that no matter what he says or does, I'm wrong in telling the truth. And I've never told a lie about Donald Trump. Never told a lie about Donald Trump. But people somehow, we talk about this often, they somehow believe that if I say something that they haven't heard from conservative media, that I'm telling a lie about Donald Trump. No, they're the ones lying to you. I'm telling the truth. So let's talk about these controversial pardons. And Ian's going to get to some of your text messages coming up. So yesterday the news broke that the president pardoned Todd and Julie Chrisley. They had the reality TV show Chrisley Knows Best. Now, never saw it, saw previews for it, didn't find anything interesting about it, so I never saw the show. But Todd and Julie were arrested, charged, and convicted, and then sentenced to prison for defrauding banks more than $30 million. Their kids, daughter Savannah and son Chase, they were pleading to have their parents pardoned by Donald Trump. Donald Trump pardoned them. Why? I'll tell you what I think. I think they gave Donald Trump some money. If the Chrisleys defrauded these banks for more than $30 million, who's to say that they don't have some stash somewhere? And I think they gave Donald Trump money. Now, I could be wrong. I'm not saying it for sure, but that's my opinion. I think they gave him money. Because here's something else interesting. Right after that happened, the president pardoned a tax evader, Paul Walczak, who was an executive with the Florida nursing home, and he was sentenced to 18 months in prison and ordered to pay nearly $4.4 million in restitution after pleading guilty to siphoning employee tax payments to fraud a luxury lifestyle that included a $2 million yacht. Donald Trump pardoned this trash bag after his wife attended a $1 million a head fundraiser at Mar-a-Lago. So I can see the conversation taking place. Okay, go to the fundraiser. Pay $1 million to eat. $1 million. Go to the fundraiser at Mar-a-Lago, and I will release your husband. I'll pardon your husband and release him. I think that's what happened. And I think the Chrisleys somehow gave Trump money. Now, what is the other explanation for this? Now, Fox and Friends, they were all happy about it. Lawrence Jones on Fox and Friends was talking about how this was part of Trump's campaign promise to, quote, stop the weaponization of the feds when it comes to the FBI and these U.S. attorney's offices as well. But what was weaponized when it comes to Todd and Julie Chrisley? They were found guilty of defrauding the banks. This tax evader, he was trying to rip off the government. And his wife goes to this $1 million a plate dinner, and suddenly the guy's out of jail, pardoned. And the Chrisleys are pardoned. I mean, to me, this reeks of a con job. And it seems like Donald Trump is continuing to just bilk the public, bilk anybody he can when it comes to the power that he has as president. And I just think that it's deplorable. It's not right. And then you've got, you know, Joe Exotic from Tiger King is still in friggin' prison. He's been appealing to Trump to pardon him. So he's, thinking, well, hey, I think I'm innocent and I'm in jail and what, I don't get pardoned because I'm innocent? I mean, clearly Todd and Julie Chrisley were guilty. This guy, the executive of the nursing home in Florida, was guilty. But why did they get out? There's no reason for it, except she attended a $1 million a plate dinner at Mar-a-Lago, and the Chrisleys may have given the president money. I don't want a president who can be friggin' bribed. I don't like the whole pardon thing anyway. And we talked about this when please don't call and say, well, what about Biden? You know, he pardoned his son. We covered that. We covered that at the time, and I said it was wrong for Biden to pardon his son. And it was wrong for Donald Trump to pardon the J6 people. I mean, these pardons just make our justice system a travesty. If you want to join us with a comment, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. There have got to be investigative reporters out there who can look into this. I mean, I guess it's pretty easy to hide money. I don't know. I mean, I've never been in any kind of dealings like this. But I just find it a coincidence when this guy gets out of jail after his wife attends a $1 million-a-plate dinner at Mar-a-Lago. And I think it's just ridiculous that the Grizzlies are out, and I think that money exchanged hands because there's no other reason for them to be pardoned. All right, Ian's got some text messages for us.
Got a lot of texts that are just kind of all over the place. Look, I'll start here. It's just right at the top of the pile. Very true, Scoot. You could add that to anyone who subscribes to either political tribe. They'll defend their tribe and anyone in it, no matter what.
Amen.
Here's another one that says, fair enough. Let's talk about all the convicted people that Biden pardoned when he left office, including a convicted murderer.
Yeah, talked about that.
Yep.
We talked about that.
Including
members of the family, including preemptive
pardons.
Instead of playing whataboutism, you see, but when you play whataboutism, basically you're saying, okay, I admit, you're not saying this out loud, but this is basically what you're saying. I admit that Donald Trump should not have pardoned these people, and he probably got money for pardoning them. But what about Biden? You're trying to distract the two things. You're trying to distract from what Trump did. And you're probably admitting to yourself that Trump did probably take money because there's no other reason for these people to have been pardoned. But you're saying, well, what about Biden? I mean, that's a way of admitting that Trump's guilty, but you're trying to distract into the Biden situation.
Now, a couple more of these, and then we got a lot of texts about people using their hazard lights. Here's a text that says, the Supreme Court allowed the president to have absolute immunity. That means he has carte blanche. He has taken the ball and run with it. He has monetized the presidency like no other, almost doubling his personal wealth. In regards to the reality show pardons, he did the same thing, and he was convicted. So I guess he feels it's the least he can do.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, I guess he releases these people because he understands what it's like to be a tax evader. He understands what it's like to defraud banks. You know, I guess he empathizes with these people. So there's a common denominator there. Hey, I get it. I understand that. I'm gonna release you. But I still think there's money involved.
About hazard lights. Here's one that says, so if you're driving an expensive car, you tend not to be a moron? I think it's mostly the opposite.
Well, there is no way to stereotype people in expensive cars or people in cheap cars. Don't take me too literally when it comes to that. But you would think that somebody that can afford an expensive car is a successful person, and successful people tend to be intelligent. But I'm not making any kind of strict stereotypical comments when it comes to this. It's just kind of a generalization. So it's not some person in an old beat-up car that doesn't really know any better that has their hazard lights on. No, it's people in expensive cars that have their hazard lights on. And again, I'm not trying to be I'm not trying to stereotype people, but we're just generalizing here.
Well, it's not also about education. It's about entitlement. So people that are driving a very, very expensive car that maybe they have a job or a career where they make a lot of money by pushing people around and kind of getting things their way. And they're used to just being able to do what they feel like doing. And if they feel like turning on their hazard lights during a rainstorm while they're in motion, then they're going to do that.
I think that's a very good point, Ian, because there are a lot of people who have a little bit of money or a lot of money, and they feel like they're entitled to everything. And that sucks because, you're not supposed to be better than anybody else. So just cool your jets.
Soothsayer Sam is listening today. He says about half the drivers out there should have their hazard flashers on because they are a driving hazard. Stupid is as stupid does.
Amen to that. That's a good point, because a lot of you behind the wheel are a hazard. So, yeah, maybe you should have those lights on.
Three more quick ones. Here's one that says, Scoot, while you're at it, please tell people to stop. Please tell people to quit stopping at yellow blinking lights. They're going to get people killed. You proceed with caution, but don't stop.
Yeah, you know, that's a tough one. That's a tough one because I have found myself sometimes stopping at the yellow light because I don't know if the other light is red or yellow. You know, they might all be yellow. I don't always trust the traffic signals here. But yeah, if the light is yellow, you're supposed to slowly proceed with caution. If the light is red, you stop.
Especially if you're driving in a place that you're not familiar with, like if you're, you know, if you're going on a long road trip or you're driving around a community you've never been in before, I feel like kind of a heightened sense of alarm when you encounter something like a blinking yellow light. You're like, ooh, does this work differently than the yellow light
exactly.
where I'm used to driving? Like, am I going to cause an accident here?
Or I know what I'm supposed to do, but do the other drivers know what they're supposed to do?
Yeah, I have no idea how people generally behave themselves at this intersection.
Yep.
Let's not assume anything. The Contrarian is listening today and says that Rick Derringer also produced Weird Al Yankovic's first album.
Wow.
Did not know that.
Yeah, he touched a lot of us. Rick Derringer touched a lot of us.
All right. And here's the text. We were talking about Rick Derringer and how he used to play with the McCoys, and their big hit was Hang On Sloopy.
Yeah.
Well, someone texted in and said, that's an interesting video. And they didn't include a link or anything, but I went and just Googled the Hang On Sloopy video.
Yeah.
And there is like a sort of official video featuring the McCoys, led by Rick Derringer, and a young woman who I guess we're made to believe is Sloopy. And let me tell you, Sloopy is a smoke show.
Really?
Sloopy's hotter than a Sunday, dude. Like, and, you know, if you want to see the video of Sloopy, who's pretty attractive, you text it in on the text line, and I'll send you the YouTube link back, and you can watch it on your own time. That's all I'll say about it.
All right, text the text line. It's the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, 504-260-187. We had hot babes in the 60s. We had hot babes. We invented, my generation invented the mini skirt. We invented the mini skirt.
I thought you were going to say you invented hot babes.
No,
and I was like, I don't know, man. I've seen some of those Victorian ladies showing a lot of ankle.
Wait
a
minute. I'm not quite that old. I mean, almost, but I'm not quite old enough to have been part of the Victorian era. No, we had hot babes back in the 60s, and they were hot. That's why I find it so interesting that baby boomers are like so critical of seeing young girls wear skimpy things. And I get what you're saying, but relative to the times in which we live, is that really that more outrageous than miniskirts? And the miniskirt wasn't short enough. No, then there was the micro mini, and then there were hot pants. And I never saw a girl wearing hot pants without both cheeks kind of hanging out of the hot pants. That was baby boomer fashion. So again, where do baby boomers get off being so critical of young girls looking very, very sexy and sensuous today? Because we had those babes too. All right. Crawfish. Still in season. Saw some the other day at Robert's Lakeview. Hey, you know, I saw on the news the other day, I saw this metal device, and you put the crawfish in it, stretch out the tail, and you push down this lever, and it removes the meat from the tail. And man, you can just go through one after another. And I'm thinking, you know, part of the fun of eating crawfish is the social environment that allows you to, like, you know, you peel the crawfish to get the meat out. Same thing with eating crabs. It's not about just getting the meat. It's about the process of, you know, peeling them and hanging around and going, yeah, what'd you think of what the president said the other day? Or, you know, you have conversations while that's going on. So I think peeling it is part of the phenomenon of eating crawfish and crabs. I don't want a device that just gets the crawfish meat out. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Yeah, pardon me. Pardon me. Yeah, pardon me. Or pardon our dad. Pardon our mom. Let everybody out of jail. How much money you got? I posted something about this on Scoot on the Air Substack, and I invite you to join me on Substack. I'm going to do a little less on Facebook and more on Substack now, and I hope you will join me and ultimately subscribe. It is an extension of our show here on WWL and gives me a lot of freedom to, when I'm not on the air, to continue talking about stuff. And you can comment on the conversation about the pardons. All right, glad you're with us on this Wednesday afternoon. I know it's Wednesday already, halfway to the weekend. All right, time to take a look at Scoot's news briefs. As we've got some breaking news. Ian Hoke is Not in, but close to the WWL newsroom with this breaking news.
We just got a flash flood warning for Orleans Parish from 2:30 until 5:30 tonight. So this is the time when we remind you, if you see standing water in the street, don't drive through it. If you don't need to be out on the roads for the next couple hours, don't be. Now's a great time to go home, put on the Scoot Show on WWL,
have a
nice hot cup of tea, and don't be driving around creating a hazard.
Or if you're home, man, take a belt or something.
Take a belt of
It's called taking a, you know, when you take a shot.
Take
a belt, man.
I thought you were take a belt, like what, like beat your kids or something? What are you talking about? It's a flash flood warning.
No, man, just take a belt of something. If you know, you got something at home, you want to just relax on this afternoon and you're already home, you just take a belt of Jack Daniels. I don't know why they call it a belt. I don't know why they call it that. I didn't make that up. It's old school.
Orleans Parish is under a flash flood warning until 5:30. Keep it right here. We'll keep you updated.
Okay. And now it's time to take a look at Scoot's news briefs. Not always a pretty sight. All right. As we all knew it, the relationship between the president and his co-president would someday come to an end. It appears to have finally come to an end.
Elon Musk is criticizing the Trump legislative agenda's centerpiece. It's a significant blow to a partnership that was poised to reshape American politics and federal government. Musk says he's disappointed by what the president calls his big, beautiful bill, telling CBS it's a massive spending bill that both boosts the federal deficit and undermines DOGE's work. Musk has previously urged lowering excessive government spending.
It's essential for America to remain solvent as a country.
And has effusively praised the president, who's repaid the favor.
He's a patriot more than anything else.
Musk is now stepping back from government work. DOGE has fallen far short of the $1 trillion in spending cuts Musk had hoped to generate. He tells the Washington Post the federal bureaucracy situation is much worse than he realized. Sagar Meghani at the White House.
So what, it's worse than he thought, so he bails? Hey, this is worse than I thought. I'm getting out of here.
Politics is too hard.
Yeah,
for him.
It's just too hard. I bet his hands are softer than mine. I mean, I push buttons. My hands are pretty soft. I have to admit that.
Well, that's what I heard.
Maybe, Eli, you don't know my hands are soft.
Oh, my God.
You don't know that. But some people do. Maybe Elon Musk should have spent more time with SpaceX.
Elon Musk's SpaceX launched its mega rocket Starship Tuesday evening, but the spacecraft re-entered the Earth's atmosphere out of control.
We are in essentially a tumble. We had lost that attitude control. We are entering uncontrolled, but again, we're entering into an airspace and a sea space that is cleared and monitored in advance of launch.
SpaceX later confirmed that the spacecraft had broken apart as it skimmed space toward the Indian Ocean. The more than 400-foot rocket blasted off from the southern tip of Texas on its ninth demo from the Starbase launch site. SpaceX had planned to release a series of mock satellites following liftoff, but that was scrapped when the door failed to open all the way. Musk said in a post on X that the flight was a big improvement from the two previous demos, which ended in flaming debris over the Atlantic, and he's promising a future launch pace of 1 every 3 to 4 weeks, at least for the next 3 flights. I'm Donna Water.
Yeah, you know, I think people, I mean, even hardcore Trump supporters were really PO'd at Elon Musk having so much power, at least appearing to have so much power. And he wasn't elected. All right. The president of the United States still thinks that he can strike a deal to keep Iran from getting nuclear weapons. Man, that would be awesome if he can accomplish this. But he needs for Israel to fall in line.
President Trump says he issued a warning to Israel's leader as the U.S. pushes for a nuclear deal with Iran. The president says he told Benjamin Netanyahu to hold off on striking Iran while the talks continue.
Yeah, I told him this would be inappropriate to do right now because we're very close to a solution. Now, that could change at any moment.
But for now, the president says he thinks Iran wants to reach a deal.
The jury is still out. We don't know whether there is going to be an agreement or not.
Top UN nuclear watchdog Rafael Grossi says the continuing negotiations are a good sign. The president says there can only be 2 outcomes.
A smart outcome and there's a violent outcome, and I don't think anybody wants to see the second.
Sagar Meghani at the White House.
You know, look, I hope I'm wrong, But I just don't think Iran wants to make a deal. I mean, I think Iran wants to have nuclear weapons. I mean, they want that power. I mean, I could be wrong, but I think this is overly optimistic. Again, I hope the president's right, but I don't think they want to make a deal. I think they want nukes.
I don't think you're wrong. I think a lot of their neighbors have nuclear weapons. They have always kind of said that they wanted nuclear weapons, but they were willing to strike a deal if they could get other like, you know, sanctions lifted and other parts of their economy be a little bit more integrated with the rest of the world. But they're, you know, it's not really totally a free market country, very authoritarian. Whatever sanctions are placed on them, you know, they'll tell their people like, oh, this is all America's fault. But,
not
a lot of good governance there. I don't think
Trump may have an upper hand when it comes to Vladimir Putin, because the Russian economy is bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really it's bad. I think inflation is at 10%. And interest rates are at 20%. Wow. I mean, the Russian economy is in the dumper, but you know that doesn't affect the top people in the government, and they don't even have to appeal since they're not elected. Well, they're elected, but it's not a fair election.
A joke.
Yeah, they don't have to really appease the masses, and they're well taken care of. So I don't know, maybe it's not a big deal.
It reminds me real quickly of, like, you remember when Tucker Carlson went to Russia? This was maybe like 6 or 8 months ago, something during the election, I think, and said, look at this supermarket. This is remarkable. The shelves are all full, and these things are all, it's only 6 rubles for, a carton of eggs, and that's only like $3. Well, what he didn't tell you is 6 rubles is like a month's salary or something. I mean, look, don't correct me on this. I'm totally making up how much a ruble is actually worth. My point is the groceries in that store are profoundly unaffordable for most Russian people.
Yeah.
The economy is in bad shape there.
But again,
we don't really hear about it in the West, but it's not good.
But Vladimir Putin doesn't have to please the people because they have to vote for him, or the election is predetermined no matter what. So they don't have to appease the masses. You kind of get the feeling that our president doesn't feel like he needs to do that. All right. You know, I have applauded law enforcement for their job in finding some of these prisoners who got out of the Orleans Parish prison. Here's what it sounded like in Huntsville, Texas, where police arrested New Orleans jail escapees Leo Tate and Jermaine Donald.
Hey, everybody move to the right side of the car.
Open the door, dude.
I'm not opening, you kidding?
Get out.
Go with him.
I got hands if everybody can hold him.
Jumbo, good hands? Shut up. Unlock the door with your right hand. Crawl to, no, Jumbo, back up. Crawl to him.
Yes.
Cool.
Back to the clip.
9-3, slow everybody down.
And man, what sent these young people in this direction to commit these crimes to end up in prison? I'm going to go with New Orleans Councilman Freddie King.
Oh yeah,
this Justice Friday Center. Morning.
Good, to talk to
juveniles who have been arrested, convicted, and they're in a facility.
Dang,
they're behind bars. Yeah.
I say dang only because you and I are going to have a pretty short show on Friday because.
Oh really?
Yeah,
LSU
is playing in the afternoon. Okay. Pre-game at 1:30.
Oh so, wow. Okay. Well, you know what? I will touch on it. We'll talk about it Monday.
I will also say this. I don't know what the forecast in Baton Rouge is like off the top of my head right now on Friday, but if it's anything like the forecast in New Orleans, that game is maybe going to move in either direction. So you should plan on preparing a whole show for Friday, right, even though you may not get to do it until then.
All right. We have to get to a break here. So there's a conversation about Donald Trump having an impact on tourism in America, that people don't want to come to America because of Donald Trump. I'm not sure about that. I mean, would you cancel your plans to come to America because of Donald Trump? I mean, if you're a tourist, well, I don't know. I mean, if you get arrested, you might be thrown in jail without due process. You know, we've heard that might be possible, but, you know, it's kind of hard to believe that people might be afraid to come here because of the president. I'm Scoot. We will be right back. It's kind of interesting. The city of Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, and the sister city, Ontario, Canada, are separated by the St. Mary's River. And the U.S. and Canadian cities are basically connected by the Sault Ste. Marie International Bridge. Now, because of the threat of detention at the border, because of the reports of people being thrown in jail without due process, because of President Trump's presence in the White House, traffic from Canada into the United States on that bridge in April was down 44%. That's a lot. I mean, that's not like 10 or 15%, 44%. So there are Canadians who, I guess, also resent the idea that the president keeps talking about Canada becoming the 51st state, and they're kind of PO'd, and they're not coming across the bridge. So, you know, that's just an interesting sidebar when you think about everything that's going on in this country. Some people are from Canada, and it may be just resentment for the United States. And, you know, we don't have to have ill feelings toward Canada, but a lot of Canadians may have ill feelings toward us because of this idea that, well, you know, we're going to make Canada the 51st state. I mean, that was a really random thing. And again, I think these kind of thoughts, I don't think these thoughts come from Donald Trump himself. I think they come from Stephen Miller, his alien-looking aide. And he just has that kind of aggressive mindset. And I feel like the ideas come from him. And he uses the president to try to execute his ideas of what America should be like, which is all white, mostly male. But, you know, you got to have women around, right? All right, let's go to Larry in the truck. Hey, Larry, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scoot. Thank you for taking my call. You ruined my day.
How did
Every
I ruin
day,
your day
you ruined my day by mentioning Donald Trump's name. Mentioning Donald Trump's name. He's a dirty SOB. He's a liar. He's a thief. And the people that voted for him need to wake up, America. Smell the roses.
Yeah. Well, he's the president of the United States. And I've been trying to say, instead of saying his name, I've been saying the current president of the United States instead of saying his name.
But you're right, Drew. You're right. He is the president of the United States, but he's not my president.
Yeah, I understand.
Drew, love you. Have a great day. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to whatever you got to say. You and Ian, appreciate y'all. You have a great day. I love you and love New Orleans.
Love you too, Larry. We appreciate you. Hey, if you'd like to go see the band Mumford & Sons, man, they had some big hits a few years back. Mumford & Sons and friends, including Trombone Shorty, are going to be part of the Railroad Revival Tour. They're going to be here in the New Orleans area Sunday, August 3rd at Waldenburg Park. You can win tickets now by going to our website, wwl.com/contests with an S, and register to win a pair of tickets. It's an English rock folk group, and they're going to be celebrating on the riverfront. Mumford & Sons and friends, including Trombone Shorty. This is courtesy of Live Nation and WWL. So go to our website, wwl.com/contest with an S, and you could win tickets.